Happy New Year, guys. How many of us are believing that this year is going to be your best year yet? Woo! Come on. That's a good way to get you awake and kicking. As usual, we always like to start the year with a bit of a faith-stirring sermon. This time last year, we had a series called Power. You know, how everything comes through His power and everything happens because of His power. And this year, we have an incredible three-part sermon series called Stand. Okay, and today the sermon that I'm going to have the privilege of delivering is called Stand Up. So when I get a bit excited and I shout those two words, stand up, I don't literally mean you should stand up, okay? But if you want to stand up, feel free. Okay, and next week we've got the pleasure of having our very own super campus minister, campus director, Roisin Welch. Roisin, why don't you stand up? Let's give Roisin a big warm welcome. Roisin, if you have the privilege of knowing Roisin, her energy is like that of about 10 people. You can have a seat. Yeah. And she is going to be delivering a powerful sermon next week, part two of the sermon series. So I think that's your very first time, Roisin, preaching in your home church. And even after about 4.5 years of being a missionary in Brisbane, a mighty work of God over there. It's growing so fast. God is doing incredible things in Brisbane church that this church planted about 5 years ago. And part three will be Pastor Richard, and he will be returning from his leave, his holiday, and he'll be preaching the conclusion of the series. So this is really a three-sermon series drawing from the life of a guy called Daniel. Daniel is a great character of the Bible, if you're not familiar with the Bible. And three massive stories from this guy's life encouraging us about faith. And this guy, you will soon find out that he's a little bit like us. And he's gone through all kinds of ups and downs. And in the midst of that, he was able to stand up. He was able to stand firm. And he was able to stand strong. Okay? So I'm going to read our little chunk of sermon today. Usually we'll get everyone to stand up. I won't because it's a little bit longer today. So I'll read that and then we'll get into our sermon proper. Okay? So if you've got your Bibles here today, it won't be on the screen because it's a little bit long. If you would turn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, kind of the second half of the Old Testament, you turn to the book of Psalms and you keep going. Second half, or you can look up the index page. Don't be afraid. I know, like, who gets embarrassed for looking up the index page in church? Because people think that you should know where the books of the Bible is. Don't worry. I do that sometimes too. Okay, I can't sing that nursery rhyme that has all the 66 books in the Bible. So look up the index page, get the book of Daniel, chapter 10, reading from verse 5 to 19. Okay, here we go. Daniel 10, verse 5. This is Daniel speaking or writing. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. I'll pause there for a second. If you want to close your eyes and just imagine, feel free. If you want to follow in the Bible, feel free. It's very, very descriptive, this part of the Bible. Verse 6, his body was like beryl. So beryl is like a gemstone, green. His face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and his legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Verse 8, so I was left alone and I saw this great vision and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and my knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken these words to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the very first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before the God, your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make me understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come. Verse 15, when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now my strength, no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Verse 18. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and be of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak. For you have strengthened me. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray as the words are delivered that you will touch hearts, touch the spirits that are in this place, and that you will bring the word in such a relevant way into the situations of your people's lives in this auditorium. God, I pray for transformation. God, I pray that these words will not return to you void. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So the second last day of the year, 30th of December, our family usually likes to go visit, you know, a beach somewhere around Auckland. Or beyond. Now, the thing is that if you're from overseas or from the Northern Hemisphere, like our friends from London, you'd be enjoying a White Christmas. Now, over here, you wouldn't sing that White Christmas song, or you might listen to it and dream about it, but over here, the weather's actually quite nice. And so our friends Alfred and Kelly Chong and a few other families had decided to go camping. So they were camping at this place called Oriri Point, which is south of Auckland somewhere. And Rita and I have been discussing the possibility of buying a tent for some years. And, you know, the discussion is ongoing, so we haven't bought a tent. So this year, we came to a bit of a compromise. We didn't go camping, but we made a day trip to visit Alfred and the gang. Now, you must understand that when you've got a bunch of food-loving Asians, now let me say break that down for you. Food-loving is one thing, and then Asians, when you go camping with them, the food is amazing. So part of the reason why we went, Alfred, confession time to the world and yourself, is that we came for the food. For the fellowship as well, but I'm telling you, the buffet table was absolutely insane. Like there was dessert at a campsite. How many people have had dessert at a campsite? Yeah, so point made. So we had an incredible meal together at lunchtime, and there's a little stretch of beach about maybe 5-10 minutes away, Alfred, down the road, and that's where you can pick green-lipped mussels. So if you're visiting New Zealand, apart from the All Blacks, green-lipped mussels are probably the icon of New Zealand, right? Apart from, well, there's a few other things, ice cream and all that, Fonterra, but green-lipped mussels. So we decided to take a few cars down there and drove along the coast, and then we stopped by the side of the beach and saw this incredible coastline filled with big rocks. And Alfred had been there before, and he's going by memory, right? You haven't been there for a while. So this guy doesn't need a GPS. He's got a memory. So we got there. We parked up our cars, and all of us went with buckets and everything. And just so you know, there's a limit, right? There's a limit of 50 per person. We allow the mussel stocks to not be depleted. So we had about, 20 of us? Do the math. So anyway, it was a great harvest. You know, for those of you praying for harvest, it's happened. So we were harvesting mussels, and then someone came back, went back to one of the cars, and came running down to us. And I think it was Katrina. Katrina came to me and said, "Hey, Weeong, I think someone broke into your car." I was like, "Oh, what a day for it, hey?" I thought, "You must be kidding me. Like, that's not funny." And she goes, "No, it's serious." So we made our way back into up the little beach, and then, sure enough, the driver's side window was smashed, and the little rock was on the other side, and Rita's bag was taken. But you know, the thing is that there is a bit of a silver lining in this cloud, because for whatever reason, usually Rita would have her keys and her phone in the bag. On that day, she decided to, after leaving the car, hand me her phone, and I put it in the glove compartment, and her keys to me, and it was my pocket. And Alfred traveled with us in the same car, and his phone, so these are two pretty decent phones, was in the glove compartment as well, right, like 10 centimeters by the bag, and they were still there. So praise God for that, amen? You know, so there's always a silver lining in every cloud. Now, got on to disabling the bank account, praise God for, smartphones and everything. I called the insurance company, got that sorted, paid my $500 for access, and, you know, they're going to send someone to fix our car. And then we were driving home, and we thought, let's head home and see if the police station is open so that we can actually lodge a police report. So I was driving along, and I was, my kids were a little bit upset about that. You know, we were seeing this as, for you parents, see this as an opportunity to teach them about forgiveness. I was still stewing inside, but, I had to do the right thing. So my son was saying, I hope they rot in prison and, all that. And I said, "Son, you really have to, what would Jesus do?" So we were having this talk, and he was getting it. And then to my corner of my eye, I saw this policeman. He was waving me down. He goes, "Hey," and I was like waving back at him and going, turned, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't have to get to the police station. This guy comes to me. Awesome." So I wind down, I didn't wind down the window because the window was broken. So I leaned out the window. I said, "Hey, officer," and he goes, "Hey, you were doing 62 in the 50K zone." Are you kidding me? So he proceeds to write me a ticket on his flash iPhone or something, and he goes, "Name, address, occupation." He had a beautiful South African accent, and I guess I assumed that he would, possibly be religious. I said, "Well, I'm a minister. I guess I should repent for this, officer." And he just laughed and wrote me my ticket. And I said, "So how much is this going to set me back by?" He said, $80. And I said, "Okay, $500 for access, 80. Okay, great day. At least we got some mussels." Those were expensive mussels. I hope you guys had a great dinner. And just a couple of days leading up to that, I was really seeking God. My habit at the end of every year is really just to unwind from the year, look back on the year and just go, "God, what was all of that about?" and just really assess and give thanks to God for the awesome things, and really going, Lord, I don't understand these things. What's 2017 going to look like? And usually that takes about 2 or 3 weeks of just kind of journaling, doing my devotion. And so I was really, really in faith. I was really in faith. Man, God, this is going to start great. And then this happened, and I was just like, God, what? This is not the way to end my year. So I was getting a little bit indignant and a little bit upset. But, you know, how many of us know that sometimes when you pray to God, what happens immediately after that doesn't quite seem like the answer? But maybe sometimes it is the answer or the beginning of the answer. So today, as we learn from Daniel's life, I believe that God is going to encourage some of us today. Amen? Who believes that? If you've been standing in faith for something for a long time, whatever that may be, and things don't seem to be working out for you, this message is for you. Please know that God has heard your prayers. So, Daniel, the time frame where he was alive was a very difficult time frame for the people of God. The Bible describes Israel as the people of God, the chosen people of God. And Daniel was an Israelite, a Jewish boy. He was from the nobility or the royal family. He was related somehow. So probably Prince Daniel the 14th or something like that. So he came from a good family. And during that time, the kingdom of Babylonia had defeated Israel, had taken down the city. And if we could throw up that picture of the destruction of Israel, of Jerusalem, it was a horrible time where the kingdom of Babylonia was so powerful that it destroyed Israel. King Jehoiakim, who was the king at the time, was taken captive. And a whole bunch of things from the temple of God, the precious things, the sacred things were taken. And you know, back in those days, the things that were stored in the temple of God are so sacred that if someone touches it, you could die from it. But this enemy kingdom had come and taken that stuff and taken it back to Babylonia and stored it in the temple of the idol. And along with that, they took a whole bunch of young men. It says young men of nobility and of the royal family, including Daniel and his three amigos, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity and put in the palace of the king of Babylonia, and they were taught for 3 years in the language and the customs and the culture and in the knowledge of that kingdom so that they were able to then serve the king. Daniel was a teenager at the time, but he was given such amazing knowledge by God and a gift of understanding dreams and visions. That can only come from God for someone at such a young age. As you read through the book of Daniel, there's 12 chapters. The first 6 chapters talks about Daniel and his friends' lives and the encounters that they had. Some of us have heard about the story of the three amigos, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being put into a fiery furnace. The fiery furnace was turned up so hot, 10 times the normal average temperature, that the people, the strong men of that kingdom, when they put the three guys into the furnace, the guards were killed as a result of it. But those three guys came out unharmed. You might have heard of the story of Daniel in the lion's den if you've ever been to Sunday school. That this big lion becomes like a little pussy, just kind of like, oh, you know. Daniel's kind of patting its head and came out unscathed. He was put into the lion's den for the lion to devour him because he chose to worship God rather than the idol, rather than the king of Babylonia. So the first 6 chapters talks about Daniel and his friends' lives. Chapter 7 to 12 It's very, very interesting. If you read Daniel 7 to 12, it's quite, as you can tell, our text from Daniel chapter 10, very flowery language, very descriptive, visions and dreams, very strange things that Daniel receives as dreams. And a lot of it focuses on the end of the world when Jesus will return again as Messiah and save the rest of the world. So the book of Daniel, very incredible. Eschatology, second half, the first half is like a storybook. So the backdrop of this book really was a nation that was in captivity. Daniel was writing to encourage these people where there doesn't seem to be any hope. And we're not talking about 2 or 3 years or a couple of months of captivity. We're talking about years upon years where the people of Israel could not see the end in sight. We pick up the story from Daniel chapter 10. And now Daniel is in his late 80s. Having spent about 70 years in exile. How many of us know 70 years is a bit of a long time? So if you've been praying for a while, Daniel understands. 80 years old. It says, in the third year of King Cyrus, Daniel was given a very scary vision concerning a very great war. It so disturbed him that he proceeded to mourn and to fast for 21 days. This is where the Daniel fast comes from, for those of you that know about that. So he ate no choice food, he ate no meat and wine, and used no lotions. Lotions were used to cleanse themselves back in those days, so he didn't shower for 21 days. So for those of you, we're entering into our fasting and prayer time as a church in February, the second week of February, I think the 8th of February onwards to the 12th. Every year we have that custom and tradition of fasting together as a group of believers. So when you fast, please take a shower. Unless you've heard from God like Daniel. 21 days. It's a long time. So at the very end of this fast, like when you can imagine that his strength was depleted, he was, you know, smelling great, and he had this vision. Scary vision. And we pick up the story from here. Let's throw up that quote. We usually see and hear God when we're in the right condition to receive from him. Let me say that again. We usually see and hear God when we're in the right condition to receive from him. And fasting prepares us for that condition. Daniel chapter 10, verse 5, reading on. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like a multitude of people. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were there with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed. Wow, he was radiant after 20 days of fasting. That's awesome. And I retained no strength. After seeing this image of this angel, and in some commentaries it says it was a representation of the pre-incarnate Jesus. There's different interpretations to it. But this heavenly being before him, he retained no strength. And then it says, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. That was Daniel. Face to the ground. Not by choice, but because of the presence and the glory of God. The same God that you and I worship. The same God that you and I just sang songs to. The same God that you and I pray to every day. The same God that you're waiting for an answer from. The same God that you and I repent to when we sin. The same God
that we receive forgiveness from. The same God that died on the cross for you and I. On his face.
God's glory is so incredible. When you're in his presence, we lose strength. It says that his companions didn't even see the vision. Daniel's companions. So he wasn't alone. He was with a bunch of people. He didn't say how many companions. He didn't say whether he was big, with a big crowd. It says Daniel's companions were with him, and they did not see the vision. But yet, they felt the presence, and they were afraid, and they ran, and they hid. Presence of God. If like Daniel, as I said before, if you have been praying and believing God for something, and it's been a while, let's learn three things from the story and the account of Daniel today as to how we can stand up in the face of adversity, how we can stand up while we're waiting on the answer from God. Amen? Point number one. Say, you are greatly loved. Say with a smile, you are greatly loved. You are greatly loved. You are greatly loved. Verse 10 says, and behold, a hand touched me. So he was on his face on the ground, right, like I was before. And it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hand and knees. So he got up from his face and got to his hands and his knees. And that hand, the person that owned that hand, said to him, oh, Daniel, greatly loved of God, understand these words I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling, face, hands and knee, standing up, trembling in the presence of God. When God looks at you, he says, greatly loved. Greatly loved. That should give you the power and the strength and the sustenance to stand up. Even when you're thinking life is terrible. The situation that you find yourself in is like quicksand that you're sinking and you're sinking. You can't get yourself out. God is saying to you, you are greatly loved. Get up. Stand up. We may feel weak. We may feel abandoned. But know that this God loves you. The second thing that we learn from Daniel, God hears you. The first time you pray. He heard you the first time and he's working on it. And I say that with a bit of a caveat, bit of a catch to it. And if we read from verse 12, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says this. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. From the very first day. From the very first day, I set my heart to understand and humbled myself. From the very first day, you set your heart to understand. Understand what? Understand God. Understand how he works. Understand who he is. Understand this God that you serve. Sometimes we pray and we expect an instant answer. We expect an answer that we would want. But here it says, from the very day, the first day that you, my friends and my family, when you set your heart to understand. It didn't say that when the very first day you bought a concordance or a commentary and read your Bible 20 times. No, it's not about a knowledge. Understanding when it comes to God, For the years that I've walked with God, I can tell you, understanding of God is about a relationship with God. It is a condition of your heart. It is a condition of being willing to be taught. Because the next part of it says, set yourself to understand and humble yourself. Oh, God, you don't understand. I've been praying for so many years. All I really want to be is a such and such. I've been praying, Lord, you don't understand. You know, my friends have all of these things. All I want to be is a good parent. All I want to be, I. Set your heart to understand him. I'm getting convicted right here, preaching to myself. Set your heart to understand and humble yourself. Oh, greatly loved ones of God. Oh, greatly loved ones of God. He doesn't love Daniel more than he loves you. He died for you just the same. And you know our advantage over Daniel is we live in a time where Jesus has been historically proven. He's died, proven, rose again, proven. And we actually have a Bible. We live in a time where really there is no excuse to not set our heart to understand and seek him. Daniel lives in a time of exile, where day after day, it's like Groundhog Day. The kingdom of Babylonia was lording it over them. Daniel stood up in faith, and so can we. Amen? As you can see, there may be plenty of things that could be happening in the spiritual realm. As the text says, this angel or this heavenly being came to him and he said, after 21 days, 21 days where Daniel was fasting, for 21 days, that angelic being was in a battle. It says the king, the prince of Persia was holding him up from coming to Daniel and having a battle. And his friend Michael, the other angel, helped him out so that he could come to Daniel. When we fast and we pray, know that there is a battle going on our behalf. Daniel wouldn't have known when he was fasting that all this stuff was going on. But the angel came to him and said, when you were fasting for 21 days, I was waging war. I was fighting on your behalf. That God is fighting for you. When you pray, when you set yourself to understand and you humble yourself, God fights for you. You may not see it. You may be wandering along the corner, not knowing that somewhere inside a building right next to the path you're walking on, a lot of activity was happening to create a massive party for you, and you walk into that door and surprise. Sometimes our spiritual walk is like that. There's a surprise party being organized for you, and you're oblivious to it. You're thinking that, man, my wife forgot my 40th birthday. Man, my best friend forgot my 21st birthday. They're in trouble. And then you walk in, it's like, surprise! Been working for 2 months trying to organize a surprise party. You know, God is fighting for you. This year in 2017, where as you pray, as you're waiting, you know, I mean, this guy's been in captivity for 70 years. How long has he been praying? You know, when you read in Daniel chapter 6, it says, Daniel goes up to the upper room and prays as he usually does 3 times a day. Wow. What a spiritual guy. But for that long, if you haven't really seen much happening apart from being saved from the lion and, you know, your friends going into a fiery furnace, those are two amazing stories, right? But for 70 years, you tend to... Who forgets sometimes that God has done miraculous things? Let's be honest, in our lives. I do. But we sometimes have to remind ourselves that God is working for you, even though you don't see it, even though you're waiting for that job. And for those immigrants amongst us, that we're waiting for your visa. You don't know when it's going to come through. Maybe you're thinking, I have to fly back next week if I don't get a visa. God is working for you. God is working for you. Maybe you have to take a detour before you come back. Maybe this is not the land for you. Maybe there's another place for you. God is working for you. Last lesson from Daniel. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Verse 17. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved. Second time, right? First time he said, O man greatly loved. Just in case, Daniel, you forgot what I just said to you, let me repeat again. O man, O man, O man greatly loved, Daniel. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, and peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. As he speaks to you, you are strengthened. You are strengthened. And he said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. The more we spend time in the presence of God, the more we spend time on our face in His presence, seeking Him, the more we realize our frailties. The more we realize that we are sinners in need of grace, which is the unmerited favor of the Almighty God. And the weaker we are, the more we are able to receive from God. Because if you're a parent here today, and I'm a parent of two young boys, I remember the days, and still probably now, when I'm holding my child's hand and trying to lead them in a direction, and you know what? Little kid goes, right? Yeah. Parents in the house know what I'm talking about. So the kids leading the parents. And sometimes we're like that with God. Dear Lord, give me a Toyota, the latest version in metallic blue. Because we have to be specific about our prayers, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to be facetious. And God's like, I'm going to give you a plane. No, no, I want a car. God has better plans for you than you realize. Who knows that? Sometimes it may not come in the way, the method, or the timing that you expect. But God knows. When we're weak, then He is strong. When you are strong, then He will leave you to do your own thing. But He loves you, though. He loves you so much, He keeps coming at you, He keeps coming at you, He keeps knocking, He keeps sending people to you, He keeps getting your colleague to talk to you, sending you to a church service, sending a link to you to read. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Would you open? Would you listen? Would you get on your face? Would you fast and seek Him and pray for 2017? He knows better than you what is good for you. Let us all get weak. It's not comfortable. I don't want to be weak. I want everything in order. That's me. I want everything to work exactly as how I planned it to be. That's me. But you know, if 2016 has taught me anything, it would be that in his heart, a man plans his course. But it is the Lord that determines his steps. You know, we don't really need a special atmosphere to be in God's presence. I'm sure there was no keyboard playing when Daniel was seeking God, right? I'm sure there was no Hillsong or Every Nation music in the background. I'm sure that Daniel, when he, as usual, was praying three times a day in his upper room, he was just doing it as, you know, this is my relationship with God. It may not have been incredible every day, because this occasion was recorded in the Bible, and I'm sure there's other occasions, but I'm sure over the 70 years times 365 days over 70 years, not every day you would find Daniel on his face on the ground. And sometimes that happens to us, and maybe it's never happened to you. You've never had that encounter with God that shows you how incredible He is and how small you are. But the irony of it is, no matter how tiny of a speck we are, He loves you. Go figure. It doesn't make sense. He loves you. So as we maybe take the next couple of minutes, just quietly to reflect on what God's telling you. Maybe you haven't heard anything that I've said. That's okay. But if God has spoken to you in some way, maybe over the next 1 minute before I say anything else, just, if you want to close your eyes to focus. If you don't want to, that's fine. Just reflect on what God is telling you right now. And then I'll pray. Hey, let's just be in God's presence for and just reflect. Let's us all have our eyes closed for a moment, just for a moment of privacy and focus. As Daniel experienced, you are very, very much loved by God. And He heard your prayers that very first time that you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself to listen. And when you're feeling in the weakest point of your life, that is exactly when God will move powerfully. So I want to just pray for a group of people right now. If you know that you need to get weak before God in order that His strength may be made perfect, I would just invite you to stand up, because I'd love to pray with you. If you know that you need to get weak before God in order that His strength is made perfect, on the count of three, I invite you to stand, and I want to pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God knows. No one's looking around. Thank you. Thank you. Just pray quietly in your heart as, along with me. Lord, You know my situation. You know that I've tried and I've prayed and I've fasted. But I'm willing to get weak in your presence so that your strength is made perfect. I'm ready, Lord. 2017 is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seat. Eyes still closed. If you're here today and you're not familiar with this Jesus that we speak about, the one that is the Savior of the world, because the Bible is very clear that all men and women have sinned. Sin being imperfect. All men have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the penalty for that sin is death, which is an eternal separation from God. That one day when you and I die, we will either be reunited with God or we will be separated from Him because of our sins. And Jesus was the only one that was without sin. He was fully human, fully God. And as a sinless human being in that nature, He was able to take on board the sins of the world upon Himself, to die and to rise again because He is God, to defeat sin and death, so that for everyone who confesses Jesus as Lord, they will be saved. That if you're not a Christian today, and you want to become a Christian, or maybe you want to know more about Jesus, I want to invite you, no one's looking around, to just quietly slip your hand up at the count of three. And then we'd love to guide you, speak with you, encourage you, and show you how to follow Jesus. One, two, three. Just looking around. I'm looking around. And if you know that in your heart that you need to do it, this is not the time to, I'm not trying to manipulate you, but if you feel strongly and you don't feel comfortable coming out, grab someone that you know, or even come see me afterwards and ask them, how do I follow Jesus? Let me pray. Lord, I thank You so much for today. Thank You for this very first Sunday service of the year. We honor You. We love You. We give You all of ourselves for this incredible year ahead of us. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say, amen. Why don't you look around, smile at somebody. Let's give the Lord a big hand.